WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Did you ever wonder where the money comes from that pays for the Pentagon's covert operations and secret weapons? My guest Tim Weiner won a 1988 Pulitzer Prize for his investigation of that secret budget. Weiner is a reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer and the author of a new book that expands on his prize-winning series. It's called Blank Check, The Pentagon's Black Budget. What is the black budget?
It's the president's secret treasury, Terry. It funds basically every program the president, the secretary of defense, and the director of CIA want to keep hidden from public view.
What kind of programs has it funded?
It pays for the weapons for fighting the Cold War and the Third World War and World War IV, the nuclear weapons and nuclear war technologies that are hidden in it were developed beginning in the late 70s and throughout the 1980s to fulfill a vision of fighting and winning a six-month nuclear war with the Soviet Union.
It's also funded the development of the stealth bomber?
The stealth bomber is one of the largest programs that have sort of peeked their nose out of the darkness and emerged into the light. The stealth bomber, not to be confused with the stealth fighters, which are being deployed now in the Persian Gulf. There's only one stealth bomber in existence. It's only been tested for about 2% of its normal testing routine, and we are $30 billion down the road on this program. If everything goes the way the Air Force, the Pentagon, and the White House want it to go, we're going to buy 75 of these nuclear bombers. If all goes well, if there are no more delays, no testing failures, all of which would be faintly miraculous, each one is going to cost us about $900 million. And it would cost as much as if this plane, which weighs 70 tons, had been built out of solid gold. It's quite an investment.
Another project that it funded was MILSTAR, and this is you describe this as the first truly space-based warfighting system. What is it?
Well, MILSTAR is a program that very few people know about. It, too, is just beginning to emerge into the light so that one can gather enough information to fill a chapter in a book. MILSTAR stands for the Military Strategic Tactical and Relay System. It is a program that would create a constellation of between 8 and 10 satellites in space linked to between 3 and 4,000 ground terminals. These terminals would be in President Bush's new Air Force One. They would be in the underground bunkers where the Pentagon top brass go to hide should nuclear war erupt. They'll be in lead-lined tractor-trailer trucks speeding down the highways, dodging nuclear detonations. And the purpose for which MILSTAR was designed was to be able to transmit and relay launch orders for nuclear weapons and strategic decisions from the top commanders to the soldiers in the field throughout a six-month nuclear war. That was the design requirement under which MILSTAR is built. That runs into money.
Do you think that there's money from the Pentagon secret budget, the black budget, that's being used now in the Persian Gulf?
Well, the stealth fighters, the stealth fighters were developed, the research and development money was black, and there are electronic warfare automated battlefield systems and technologies that were developed under the black budget. But the really serious hardware is just beginning to roll off the drawing board onto the assembly lines and just beginning to come down the assembly lines now, because the great surge of black spending occurred when President Reagan first took office. And it takes, on the average, at least 10 years to get a sophisticated weapon system from conception to completion. So we're now just beginning to see the strange fruits of this constitutional aberration coming to light.
How did you discover the secret budget?
Well, I didn't discover it. People have been writing about it and analyzing it for quite some time. It is no secret that secret weapons and secret wars and secret policies are funded from the Pentagon's budget. What I think startled me when I began looking into it 4 years ago was the size and scope of the black world. We should explain to people that black in this instance means secret, unseen, hidden from light. It's a word from the world of spies. From the beginning of the Cold War onward, the CIA's budget and 11 other intelligence agencies' budgets have been hidden in the Pentagon's budget in all sorts of interesting ways. But the development of military hardware was rarely concealed from public view, and it was a phenomenon that really took root in the first Reagan administration, when the overall defense budget doubled from 1981 to 1985. The budget for secret weapons went up eightfold, and now it's running, and it has been running for the last 3 years, at about $100 million a day, all told.
Now, how does this work? Where does the money come from, and how exactly do you hide it?
It's your tax money, friends. It comes out of the Treasury. It is hidden in the Pentagon's budget in all sorts of crafty ways. It can be deleted where you have, say, a readout of line items, as you would in any large budget. Where the money should be, there's a blank space. Where the name of the program should be, there's a code word. Or, alternatively, what looks like an unclassified program can be padded with black money so that you think you've got a line item for boots or bullets, but it's for computers, or nuclear war technologies, or fancy state-of-the-art warfighting systems.
You say the money comes from our tax money.
Well, sure.
Can you estimate how much each of us is paying in taxes?
It's a hidden tax of about $150 a year on every man, woman, and child in the country. The problem with this is not the Pentagon to sort of fling open its vaults and expose what it's working on to the world. The problem is that you have to account to the government for every dime on your taxes or you go to the slam. The government does not account to us for a penny of this secret spending, and in doing so, it breaks a promise the Constitution makes. The Constitution calls for the government to publish and this is Article 1, Section 9, Clause 7 of the Constitution, a regular statement and account of the receipts and expenditures of all public money shall be published. There's no room in that constitutional order for secret spending. This is a phenomenon that is a creature of the Cold War and of Cold War fears. We can't tell the people what we're doing because the Russians, the communists, will find out. And I argue that this is now an anachronism and we should return to the Constitution's commands.
Tim Weiner is my guest, and he reports on national security issues and the Justice Department for the Philadelphia Inquirer. He's the author of a new book called Blank Check, The Pentagon's Black Budget, and it's based on a series of articles that won him a Pulitzer Prize for reporting. You're saying the Cold War is over, so what's the point of this secret budget? On the other hand, the United States has troops and arms now in the Persian Gulf, and it seems to me that that could be considered a rationale for the need for further secret budgets. There's other enemies now that we wouldn't want to know what we were doing.
You need good intelligence. You need a strong defense. This book in no way questions the need for good intelligence and a strong defense. But you don't need to subvert the Constitution in the name of national security. And the weapons that the black budget produces, and the stealth bomber, a nuclear bomber, and the MILSTAR nuclear war communication systems are two classic examples, are useless in a conventional war situation. I mean, unless you're going to throw caution and humanity to the winds and use nuclear weapons in the Persian Gulf. It hurts and subverts us, secret spending does, because, look, out there in the Persian Gulf, our soldiers are saddled with chemical weapons suits, all right? These immense baggy suits that they have to wear to fend off a chemical attack that are the lowest rated of any NATO countries. And according to people I've talked to, you can't bear to be in them in the desert heat for more than 5 or 10 minutes. If you're going to have a defense budget that has peaked at about $300 billion a year, as ours have, and you're going to continue spending money to buy the weapons for nuclear war against the Soviet Unions, well, you're robbing your conventional strength. You're robbing troops who need support of money that they need to defend themselves. Do you see my point?
Mm-hmm.
The weapons produced by the black budget are the weapons for the wrong war, the war we are not going to fight, the war against the Soviet Union. And if you're going to pay for them in secret, that money is going to come out of the funds that you need to support a conventional army in a very difficult situation.
The people who are designing the weapons, is this ever more science, kind of science out of control rather than protecting national security interests?
I think there are several really important issues that this raises. One, scientists need to talk to each other to make sort of the whole more than equal to or greater than the sum of the parts. They need to exchange information. When you're working on a black program, you can't talk about it. Norbert Wiener, no relation to me, he's the late sort of cyberneticist, computer whiz, said if you really wanted to screw up science, all you had to do was take everything to one notch of classification higher than it was. And the free flow of information, the free flow of ideas on which good science is based would shut down and you'd have bad science. Secondly, I think it's a very human impulse if you're working on, let's say, a MILSTAR satellite system or a stealth bomber, that if it's ever a system that if ever used would destroy a good chunk of humanity in a nuclear firestorm, you cannot take this to bed with you. You have to see what you're working on as an abstract technological challenge. J. Robert Oppenheimer called the bomb a technologically sweet problem, and not think about its end use or end result.
Well, you've discussed some of the weapons, some of the war planning that's been funded through this secret budget. There's also an entire office that was funded by the secret budget. I'm thinking of the National Reconnaissance Office. What is it? What is its purpose?
Well, it doesn't exist technically, and Congress is barred from discussing it in open session. It is a office that operates under the cover of the Air Force Space Systems Office, and it constructs very remarkable, very, very expensive spy satellites. These are crucial for important things like verifying nuclear arms control treaties or on giving you battlefield intelligence. For example, the reason we knew that Iraqi troops were massing at the Kuwait's border was that we have a fine spy in the sky to tell us about trouble spots. The problem at the NRO, in my opinion, is that it becomes a sort of an engineer's playpen where fantastic projects are undertaken with absolutely no regard for their cost. I spoke with a systems engineer who was working on space satellite programs a couple years ago. And this is what he told me. In a black project, people don't worry about money. If you need money, you got it. If you screw up and you need more, you got it. You're just pouring money into the thing until you get it right. The incentive isn't there to do it right the first time. Who's going to question it? Now, in recent weeks, you've been reading about the Hubble Space Telescope.
Mm-hmm.
$1.5 billion in the sky there, and it doesn't work too well. Shortly before we learned about that problem, a NRO spy satellite fell out of orbit and evaporated in the atmosphere shortly after its launch, burning up more than $500 million. Now, you're not going to read about that failure, you're not going to hear an outcry about it, and you won't hear it debated in the Congress, because it is illegal to openly debate the National Reconnaissance Office's operation on the floor of the Congress. One congressman who tried to raise these sorts of questions several years ago, George Brown of California, came within a hair's breadth of official censure and had to resign from the House Intelligence Committee.
At whose discretion is a project funded by the secret budget?
The initial requests for money come, of course, from the Pentagon, from the Air Force, from the Navy, from the Army. And with those requests come a rather more severe request, more like a demand, that the project be kept black, be kept secret. But it is the Congress that acquiesces to this system, and it has been the Congress that allows secret programs, secret weapons, to remain secret. Without their consent, this would not happen. Pat Schroeder, who's a member of Congress on the Armed Services Committee, kind of put it in a nutshell. We were talking about the stealth bomber and about black programs in general, and she said, look, the fault lies with the Congress. If we forced the release of this information, there'd be no issue. But as long as the Congress goes along with the Pentagon secrecy program, we have no complaint.
Tim Weiner is my guest, and we're discussing the subject of his new book, Blank Check, The Pentagon's Black Budget. You say that you realized from earlier stories that you had reported on that the best way to find out what the government is up to is to read the documents that show the flow of money. How do you find the documents? For instance, when you were researching the Pentagon secret budget, how did you research the flow of money?
The primary starting point is the unclassified budget itself. And to determine how much money is being hidden in the research and development and procurement, that is the actual buying of weapons budgets, what you do is you sit down with the budget books and with the underlying, they're called the justifications of estimate that are submitted to Congress. You add up all the unclassified line items, which come to thousands, and compare that subtotal to the bottom line of the budget. There's a gap there. There's a gap of about $25 billion there. And that is a subset of the black budget. To dig deeper, you have to go and find pockets of classified spending in unclassified programs. There are two ways to do this. One is by reading through the briefing books and reading through the justifications of estimates and seeing where there's a black chunk in a program. And the other way to do it is to talk with people who have access to this information, people who have had access to it and are no longer, say, on the staff of a congressional committee, people who were in the military and people who are still in the Pentagon today. There is a group of people in the Pentagon. They're not really whistleblowers, but they're serious analytical people who don't think this makes any sense. One, you can't talk about what you're doing. It's hard to sell it in the political marketplace. But two, as Tom Amley, who's a wonderful grizzled guy who's been an Air Force weapons designer and a cost analyst for a better part of four decades, said, look, there's only three reasons for having black weapons programs. One, you're doing something that genuinely should be secret. There's only a couple of them, and stealth ain't one of them. Two, you're doing something so damn stupid you don't want anybody to know about it. And three, you want to rip open the money bag and get out a big scoop shovel because there's no accountability whatsoever.
You say that the secret budget grew the most under the Reagan administration.
Indeed.
What about under George Bush?
Well, it's a fascinating kind of equation going on here. Under Reagan, the Pentagon's budget doubled within 4 years. It was a striking increase in peacetime. And the black budget grew about, for weapons it grew eightfold, and for intelligence it grew threefold. The Pentagon's budget stopped growing in 1985. Congress came to realize that $300 billion a year was enough. And the black budget kept growing during the second Reagan administration to the point where it became an eighth of overall Pentagon spending, roughly $100 million a day or $36 billion a year. It has peaked, I believe, and it is frozen along with the overall Pentagon budget. But as a percentage of overall Pentagon spending, it continues to kind of creep up there. Absent a massive disclosure of what secret weapons cost, we are going to have a permanent black budget in this country in the range of $30 to $40 billion a year.
Does understanding the black budget help understand the budget deficit?
You know, what it really taught me after 4 years was how to think in billions.
Uh-huh.
But the to think in billions and to realize what secret weapons cost us is to begin to understand the enormity of our other economic problems. You know, if we really want to reorder our economic priorities, unless we're going to kind of get swept away by war hysteria in the next weeks and months, then we should think about canceling some of these weapon systems. In the next few weeks, Congress is going to weigh curtailing or canceling the stealth bomber, the nuclear B-2 bomber, and MILSTAR. These programs are hanging in the balance because they've been debated for the first time, and people are beginning to realize that they make no sense in a world that's backing away from nuclear confrontation. The potential savings of completely canceling those two weapons programs would come to about $50 billion. We could use that money either to strengthen our conventional forces or to address some of the real social needs in this country.
Do you have any sense of the size of the black budget in the 1991 budget?
Well, they're working on the 1991 budget right now. I'm putting it at about $34 billion, pending what happens with the stealth bomber and MILSTAR. Right there, you've got $5.5 billion worth of spending. Now, these have partially emerged from the black budget. We now know their costs. But the budget proposal they're working on contains a proposed roughly $34 billion in black programs.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
My guest has been journalist Tim Weiner, and his new book is called Blank Check, The Pentagon's Black Budget. Weiner is a Washington correspondent for the Philadelphia Inquirer. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.